So if that offering from God's perspective is for his own glory, from our perspective, it's for acceptance. That's why in the same epistle of Ephesians, of when we bring that sweet-smelling offering of the Lord Jesus, in chapter 1, it tells us that we have been accepted in the Beloved. It's very good to look at things even from God's perspective, because as I said earlier, God has all the offerings in one offering. But now he wants you and me to enter into the delight of God in the work of Christ. So it is very good that for you and me to learn that I'm accepted in the Beloved. Regardless of all what happened, I'm accepted. And there's nothing that will alter that. So why is it that in this offering and the sin offering, although it's not the subject, the sin offering, but to see the greatness of the burnt offering, there is that act that the person that is offering has to lay their hand on it. Yes, we all understand the extending of the hand and so forth. But what is God telling me in relationship to these two offerings? That when the offerer put his hand in the case of the sin offering upon the sacrifice, what he is doing before heaven is that all his sins have been transferred from him to the sacrifice. So our sins, so great, so many, the Lord Jesus bore them on that cross. So how wonderful to see that from our perspective. But even in the burnt offering, there is that extension of the hand. Why is it now? So with the sinner putting his hand, that sins have been transferred to him. But in the burnt offering, when we put the hand upon the offering, that all the worthiness and the acceptance that is found in the sacrifice have been transferred to me. And that's the beauty for everyone to trust in Christ. It is not only that your sins have been forgiven and Christ paid for the penalty of your sins, but there is something that is way greater than this. Way greater. To know that you and I are part of the family and the sons of God. Because why? Because we are worthy of it. Because we're wonderful. God forbid. It is, we have obtained that in the sight of God because of all the worthiness and all the greatness of the Lord Jesus. So it was of necessity that the offerer has to lay their hand on the sacrifice.
That word, will, is the same word in Hebrew as delight or acceptable. And also, another definition is good favor. And the fact that our sins have been transferred, that the one who found all the delight from the Father, we can now find delight. We have now been found in delight. And we have now been made acceptable. I mean, it's a wonderful thought that we, who our sins were great and many, have now been accepted in the Beloved.
Amen. So we have been made suitable to be worshipers. We couldn't worship otherwise. So this issue of atonement is brought in all the sacrifices with the exception of the meal offering, and it's required. There will also be shedding of blood with the burnt offering, which is a reminder. I just wanted to add a comment to what Brother Kevin said earlier regarding without blemish, and can compare that to verse 9, the inward parts. We see the blemished side is man's view of that sacrifice, seeing that it is completely perfect from the outside. There is nothing of it that is imperfect. It's perfect. The animal could not have a damaged limb. It could not have spot of some sore on it. It could not be blind. The animal could not be sick. These are the things that had to be observed. It had to be a perfect animal. And likewise, when the Lord walked here on earth, he showed forth his perfection to those around. He was perfect, without blame. They tried to bring false testimony, but that's what it was, because he did no sin. But also in verse 9, we read about the washing of the entrails. the unclean things inside the body had to be removed from the sacrifice, while there was no uncleanness in the Lord Jesus inside. In him was no sin, 1 John chapter 2. He not only did no sin, but in him was no sin. He was perfect inside. He could not respond to sin. And so this sacrifice is prepared and offered with that in mind. Christ's outward perfection and his inward perfection are seen both ways. The without blemish, and then in verse 9, the washing of the entrails. And there's more to say about the entrails, the inward parts, because it involved not only the digestive system, but it also involved the legs. You know, as we walk through life, we are defiled by the world around us. And there's dirt that gets on our feet and our legs, and we need feet washing, right? Well, this animal had to have that removed as well. And the Lord had none of that. He could not be defiled by sin. He could touch a leper, and he would not become leper. That's because he was clean all throughout. And so this is all speaks of Christ as we think of the unblemished character as well.
It's important to, when we look at the sacrifice, as Brother Bill was reminding us, you will see these three parts, if you will, division in the sacrifice. There's the head, there's the inward part, right? And there's the feet. And how wonderful to see it this way. In a New Testament language, it was said of the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew no sin. That's the head. Mm. He knew no sin. He did no sin. Mm-hmm. That's in every way he moved around. He did no sin. And then in him there was no sin. So you take that aspect of why is God presenting the head and the inward parts and the feet? Because God is the author of the whole word of God. So that when I come in light of New Testament, I have such a wonderful appreciation of this wonderful burnt offering sacrifice of Christ, that all the perfections was seen in him, that he knew no sin, he did no sin, and in him, that's the inward parts, there was no sin. So we're approaching the sacrifice, the burnt offering, and it shall be killed, not before the priest. The priest shall do something, but it wasn't killing before the priest. It was killing it before Jehovah, before God. Listen, when the Lord Jesus have offered all these wonderful things and accomplished such a work on Calvary, it wasn't that you and me can enter into it. These 3 hours of darkness, no wonder that God made sure that darkness was upon all the earth. As it were, that God is making sure that none of us will even think that we can enter into these sacrifice of Christ. So it has to be before God. The second thing that we need to understand, why does the scripture speaks about the sprinkling of the blood? Okay, there are two things in the Bible that you would read constantly about the blood. For example, the blood sprinkled and the blood poured. And it has a tremendous lesson before us as to this sacrifice. The blood sprinkled, it was few drops. It speaks about the all-sufficiency of Christ. That he is so sufficient that only few drops before the blessed God have satisfied him eternally. Just few drops. But when we speak about the blood being poured, you remember when he established the supper in Luke 22, he says, this cup, he spoke about the cup that speaks of his blood, which is poured, not shed, not sprinkled, poured for you. So the pouring aspect of the blood is where you and I comes. That the Lord Jesus, because of the abundance of such a pouring, has covered me from every whit, right? That's why he pours the blood around the altar. He covers every claim. He covered me from top to bottom. So God cannot find one sin in me. You know why? Because of he poured his blood for me. But when it comes to the sprinkle, God was satisfied eternally because he has seen the all-sufficiency of the blood of his well-beloved Son as a man.